Good morning. It was a good morning, huh? I love being in his presence. I love being in his presence with you. It's always good to be in his presence, but it's more fun to be with you. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you for how good you are. I thank you for being here with us today. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for just touching each one of us, speaking to us, just showing us things. Jesus, you are so good, and we love you. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would help me. Help me say what you want me to say, but most of all, help them to hear what you want them to hear, even if I didn't say it. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your awesomeness. And I thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. So I missed Bruce's message last week, so I was kind of like, oh, I want to listen to it, because my kids were telling me it was so good. So I woke up, I think it was Tuesday morning, because Tuesday mornings are my mornings. I get to spend time with God. And I said, God, is there something that you would want me to speak on? Because I just had this feeling my husband was going to ask me. But it's funny, because he'll ask me like Thursday or Friday. You know, because, and then I have, you know, 2 days to prepare something. So I said, God, is there something? And he dropped faith into my heart. And he said, you have to listen to your husband's message to know why. And I was like, huh? So I listened to his message and I was like, I understand. So if you didn't hear Bruce's message, you can listen to it on the Encounter .net. But I laid there and I was talking to Jesus, because I was like, faith. What is faith? And I always kind of go on, what is faith to me? You know, what do I really believe faith is? I think I know the right words, you know, belief, trust. You know, but all of a sudden I started seeing that faith is your connection to him. It's your access to him. It's your union with him. Bruce talked last week about the troubles that you go through. And experiencing those troubles, but knowing that you are attached or in the source of all solution, right? Where impossibilities become possible because of who you're in, your union. This is faith. I think for me, I have believed that faith is just, I need to believe. Does that make sense? It has a lot to do with belief. So that's what we're going to talk about. I loved Bruce. He said, when he said, remain in me as I remain in you, my words will remain in you, ask and it will be done. How does that happen? Through faith in him, through remaining in him. He talked about in him, through him, and by him. That's faith, because in him we live and move and have our being. I love when he said, don't ever do it on your own. And that's faith. I hope today, I might repeat myself a lot, but I hope today you walk out of here knowing that faith is your connection with him. is your union with him, is your oneness with him. Okay? So help me plug through this. I'm going to go through definitions of faith that I found, you know, like in the Strong's or other dictionaries or whatever. So the Hebrew is emunah. I hope I'm saying that right. And it means faith or belief. But I loved, because he says it's often translated faithfulness. And that's what I found a lot in the Old Testament, was it was faithfulness. But he says, yet it describes much more than just believing a statement about God. And I think that's where I was. I just believe a statement, or I'm going to keep saying it enough so I can believe a statement about God. But he says, it reveals a life full of reliance upon him. In the Greek, I don't know how you say this. Where's Steve gone? Is it pistis? I don't even know. Anyway, probably doesn't even matter. Belief, a firm persuasion, assurance, a firm conviction, faithfulness. Right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, which I sometimes feel like I don't understand that scripture. But I know if I have a connection with him, what can happen? Or if I remain in him, or if I have a full reliance on him, what can happen? The Strong says belief, trust, confidence. It's a gift from God and never something produced by people. One of the things that I like that Bruce said is, if you're trying, he's like, stop it. If you're not getting results, he's like, quit striving and just rest. Why didn't the Israelites get to enter into Canaan, the promised land? It's because they couldn't rest. They couldn't come into knowing the rest of God. They couldn't mix their faith with that. And sometimes in a situation where we want to enter into who he is and we just can't get past, which we'll talk about some of the hindrances of faith. But we have to get past it just being a strong belief on our part. Okay? It has to do with our belief. God, it's God's divine persuasion. And it says, therefore, distinct from human belief, yet in we can't just have a concept of faith. Okay? I think that's what I was kind of more focusing on for myself, was that I had a concept of faith. It can't just be human willpower or a determination to see something come to pass. You can't make yourself believe the gospel. You have no ability to save yourself. You can't pump yourself up for faith or generate it. And try to believe. These are all gifts from God. The finished work of the cross. Right? The finished work, now you are in union. If you have asked him and you've seen him and you've asked him into your heart, you are saved. You're in union with him. Right? Your praise, your worship, all that, the Bible reading, none of that, none of your disciplines create union. You're in union. So we can't have just a concept of faith. We can't just have a belief. And I'm not saying that when you read your word, but what happens is when you're in intimate relationship with him, the belief comes. The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you. I kind of melted because it's so true. And you can seek him in so many different ways. You can read your word. You can come and worship. You can hear a word. You can listen to a podcast. You can go walk in nature. You tell me. The more you seek him in everything you do, when he becomes your full reliance, the more you will find him. And the product of that is finding him, you love him. You so love, 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 love him. The Lord, these are more definitions. The Lord continually births faith in the yielded believer so they can know what he prefers. God's guarantee that the revelation will come to pass. When he has he ever spoken to something to you that you know he has spoken and it hasn't come to pass? Has that ever happened to anybody? He has spoken something to you, because almost every time, and maybe that's true, but every time he has spoken something to me, it has come to pass. Now, that might be a handful of times in my life that he has actually spoken it. That what he said, he guarantees and warranties it. It comes to pass. Huh? Amen. Right. Remember, I talked about this a couple weeks ago, about the O ye of little faith. Jesus was rebuking the problem of failing to hear his voice in that statement, or disinterested in walking intimately with him. That's the O ye of little faith. Those are the definitions of that. And even in belief, I felt like God was saying to me this morning, believing is not a feeling. I think sometimes my belief or my believing goes a lot with how I feel. So be careful, because believing is a choice. So I want to talk to you about some of the hindrances of faith. Matthew 6:30. Says, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? In this chapter, he's talking about what shall we eat, he's talking about worry. Worry can be a huge hindrance to your faith. Worry takes your focus off of him and gets it on your problem. We can't let our worries, our problems, shape our lives. We have to live by faith in him, a full reliance on him. We have to be more tuned into his voice than our problem. I love it. If I think something that is like, wow, that could cost me, if I keep thinking going down that road. Some of the things that we think and we allow to think, who has ever been overcome with thoughts that are negative and are pulling? So a lot of you know. We know how to meditate. It's choosing what we think on. And that's a lot of the word he spends time talking about, what to think on, right? And be renewed in your mind. Because worry can be real or feel real, right? Number two for hindrances of faith, Matthew 8:26. He said to them, why are you afraid, O men of little faith? This is when Jesus fell asleep in the boat and the storm came. Has anybody had a storm come in their life? Fear. Fear can be a major hindrance to your faith. Fear pulls you right out of union with Him. Luke 22:31-32 says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." How many have ever felt like they're being sifted like wheat? But guess who's praying for you? Jesus. That your faith may not fail. I loved that. He's ever living to intercede for you. Fear cannot have any hold on you. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Right? Matthew 14:31, it says, "Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, 'You of little faith, why did you doubt?'" Doubt is a big hindrance to faith. And this is when Peter was walking on the water. Because when he saw the waves, he took his eyes off of Jesus, right? Saw the waves. Doubt. And he doubted himself. Have you ever doubted yourself? We walk by faith and not by sight, don't we? I love what Jude 1:22 says to you. It says, "Show mercy to those whose faith is wavering." So we can be such an encouragement of faith to those that are around us. We can strengthen the faith, the relationship, the union with the others that are around us. 1:19 says, "Cling to your faith in Christ." Cling to Him. Remain in Him. And keep your conscience clear. Always be aware of what you're thinking. Always. It might be a training at first, but you'll start recognizing anytime there's a thought that you don't want, you'll be like, "Nope, the joy of the Lord is my strength." You'll start, the word will start coming out. So cling to your faith in Christ. Keep your conscience. For some people have deliberately violated their consciences. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. You can be one thought away from losing your relationship with Him. You guys, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith gets imparted to you through God speaking to you. And that the word of God is the rhema word there. That is His voice speaking to you. So when He gives you faith, He gives you love. I love it when you do seek Him and you need Him for something, or even if you're just spending time in His presence, you are being imparted to. You are being changed, because in His presence is change. When you can't encounter love and not be changed. You can't encounter peace and not be changed. His presence, it was fun because I went to breakfast yesterday, or kind of a donut and coffee, but just talking about, now I forgot what I was going to say. What?
You forget.
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of all over. I messed up my whole, all my notes, but what was I going to say? Darn it. Oh, yes, we were talking about how his, thank you, Nicole, Nikki. We were talking about how amazing his presence is, and how could the angels fall? You know, how could anybody fall? How could you not? You know, how his, he's so amazing. And that's what really happens, is when you're in his presence, you start becoming love, right? Because you, what you behold, you become. You start becoming love. You start seeing love more. You start seeing peace more. You start seeing kindness more. That's why the more you seek him, the more you'll be like him. You'll see change happening in you. Things that happened for, I mean, habits that have been for years and years and years and years, and all of a sudden, God's just like, I'm going to help you with that one. Because he does the change. It says countless times, he cleanses you from sin. He's an all-consuming fire. And what happened in the fire? To Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what came off of them? Just what bound them. And that's what happens when you're in him. It's just the things that you don't want come off you. Hebrews 11:6 says, but with faith, it is impossible to please him. Bless you. I love looking at this verse now, because without relationship with him, without union, it is impossible to please him. Without full assurance on him, it's impossible to please him. And then it goes on to say, because for he who comes to God must believe that he is. You believe in who he is. Your faith, because you've hung out with him so much, you grow and know his ways, his thoughts, his heart, his will, what he prefers. How, and does it seem like it changes? Yeah. Is it ever always how you think it's going to happen? No, I mean, but that's where trust, when you are with him, there's things that are hard to go through, but you're just like, you know what, God? Who else would I have to trust? I would so much rather trust in you, because you're my good, good father, my good dad. And even if I don't understand it, it's okay. I'm going to still trust you and remain in faith, because he's a rewarder. The end of that is, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I believe he's a rewarder of himself to you. There's nothing I would want more than to know him more, to understand him more. Romans 14:23 says, whatever is not of faith is sin. Whatever is not of union with him, of reliance on him, is missing the mark. So our lives have got to be relying on him. Faith is your access to the kingdom. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Another strong. Seek first his kingdom. And I feel like when God showed me what his kingdom is, it's who he is and how he operates. It's who he is and how he operates. Seek first who he is and how he wants to move in that situation, and his righteousness, Your right standing with him, your position in him. Stay in your position with him. Don't let anything pull you out of, don't let fear, don't let doubt, don't let anger, don't let any of those things pull you out of your position in him. He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Everything will be added to you that you need. I'd like to talk about what faith produces. Now, you could go on years probably with what faith produces. I just picked out some of the ones that I liked, okay? Faith produces salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. You again can have nothing to do with you being saved. You can't clean yourself up. He does it. Grace is his ability in your life. So it's by his ability that you were saved through union with him. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. I live by remaining in the Son of God. I live by intimacy in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Salvation. Mark 5:34 says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace, healed of your affliction. Peace and healing. Jesus said, your faith has made you well. Peace and healing are part of the product of faith, of being with him. It says, call for the elders. The prayer of faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. Romans 1:17 says, this good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. So righteousness and life. Faith produces righteousness and life. Romans 5:2. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Favor, that undeserved privilege and glory. He gave us his glory so that we could be one. 1 John 5:4. For every child of God defeats this world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. So it's a victory. He gives us power and authority over the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. You have victory through faith. We take up the shield of faith, don't we? And what does it say? It extinguishes all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Staying in intimacy with him, remaining in him, causes you to overcome anything. So victory. Colossians 2:7. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. So truth and thankfulness. Seven is good deeds. James 14 through 24. This is a long read, but I think it's worth it. Faith without good deeds is dead. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds, but I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that your ancestor Abraham was shown to be right, that God, by his actions, when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened, just as the scriptures say, Abram believed God, God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right by what God, be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. What I just want to point out is Paul says, I will show you my faith by my good deeds. Last week, he said, when the branch and the vine are together, they produce. You produce fruit. The only way you won't produce fruit is if you are cut off. You will produce fruit. Your intimacy, your connection with him, the more you rely on him, the more you seek him, the more you find him, the more you know him, you will produce fruit. And some probably more than others. He even says there's a 30, 60, 100. But there, in my mind, you cannot have intimacy with him and not produce fruit. I would almost say that they didn't understand faith. Because when you're connected to him, you will produce fruit. Philemon 1:6. Says, and I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith, as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. I like the New Living Translation. You get to put into action the generosity that comes from your faith. Are you walking through a store and God says, give them money for their groceries? It's amazing. Help them unload their car. Okay. Here, and then you just do. You hear and you do. It builds and it's faith. Increases our faith. Go ahead and stand with me. Hopefully something I said today has helped. Yes. Can I say something? I will speak into your.
No.
I just want to thank the Lord for our awesome leaders, Bruce and Lori. And I thank you that you're acting. You have a wonderful faith, and you put it into action every Sunday when you preach the Word of God with faith. And Steve said something today that when you said the number 12, and the Lord had, when I was back here, he said 12 angels, and he showed me that 12 is for government, that he wants the church to rise up in her governmental authority and begin to pray the prayers that are authoritative, that are directly coming against the enemy at this time, because our enemy is rised. He is coming to a new height of evil, but the people of God are also rising. Amen. And the people of God are awake, and the Lord is going to challenge us to come in union with him more and more and declare with our mouth, declare the truth, and take action that he asks you individually to do. But he said, this is not a time for sleeping. This is not a time to lie down. This is a time to rejoice and enter into the fullness of your calling, to rejoice because the time is short, but you have the call of God on your life that can change things. Amen. Because you have the living Son of God within. And thank you for that exercise of faith.
All right. I would like to just speak this over you.
You are set apart by your faith because you are known for your faith in him. You will by faith live and move and have your being in him. Faith will urge you on and cause you to be full of faith and power by the Holy Spirit. He will increase your faith, your knowing of him and his ways to bring your kingdom to every situation in your life. You will constantly have faith in God. Be moved by his trust, having the faith of God, complete confidence in who he is, totally trusting and believing him at all times and at all costs, expressing this faith in the greatest love we have ever known and will continue to know.